what separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it had a little secret sauce to it, man.
Never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
Hello, world. How's everybody doing this evening? Happy Memorial Day. We got a special treat for you guys. Just because we know that Bengals fans are the most special fans on earth, I got none other than my bro, Rennell Wren, checking in, defensive line, Bengals. Talk to the people about what's going on with you, sir.
Man, everything's been going good. Just blessed to see each and every day. Just get up and going out there and grind and doing what I love and just showing the Bengals fans in the near future, which is this upcoming season, of what everything we have in store. We picked up a lot more tools on offense and defensive side of the ball, and we're just getting after it.
I'm glad you even said that, because sometimes we'll talk to people and they'll be like, I don't know who they got. So it's very clear that you've been watching what the Bengals have done this offseason. And you seem like, just by you saying that, like, you like some of the stuff that they've done. Is there any players that just stick out to you just based off of you just saying that you're looking forward to playing with?
Man, just the fact that I don't want to point no fingers at who's doing more and who's doing less. It's just the fact that that everybody that's been drafted under Zach Taylor for this year's draft, just being able to trust the rookies coming from college to the NFL, even though things can be more faster, you know, quicker off the ball and more, you know, higher level of IQ and everything. We drafted you for a reason, and it's to contribute into, you know, the Bengals offensive line or defensive line and so forth. So I'm ready to get after it. I'm excited for, you know, the rookies that came in and doing their work and taking the constructive criticism, and it's all going to put into forth and all going to put into work when it comes down to it in August.
No, facts. So we kind of talked about the new additions with the rookies. There was a new addition on the coaching staff, the defensive line coach, Marlon Hobby. What was just your take, or what has been your take on Marlon Hobby as a coach?
Man, Coach Hobby is a great coach. Fundamentally sound. It's a few new techniques that we've been doing per to our last defensive line coach, but everything that he's been putting in the midst and everything, we've been adapting to it and just getting after it. You just got to be able to get out of your comfort zone and just saying, well, I'll do this and do that. No, it's either their way or you can find yourself doing something somewhere else. And, you know, everybody got a job there to do. So it's been great so far.
That's kind of crazy, because I don't think an average fan thinks that y'all probably would even get into technique and stuff that early. Like, how soon, I guess, after it was hired, what do y'all, like, get technique stuff from the Zoom, or are you just talking about from the very first days of OTAs just now?
Sure, we do it from both, really, and you really just got to perfect on your craft every single day. You know, during the off season, take a little bit, you know, here and there off, but it's all grind more at the end of the day. You know, we have 4 months completely off without reaching our teams and so forth, and it's all about discipline, training yourself, and learning new techniques, and, you know, just doing a little fundamental work that'll get your mind and body right and everything, because all that stuff puts into play when you come back to the organization and do, you know, off-season training activities and training camp and so forth. That off-season stuff puts into play for sure.
In the off-season, I seen a video of Myles Garrett dunking. I don't know if you seen that the other day. Myles Garrett was going to the paint and dunking. Mm-hmm. People don't know you were a center at one point.
That's what I'm saying.
And you played basketball pretty damn good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Do you play basketball now in the off season? And what you say in the Myles Garrett thing, how do you feel about just going one-on-one? Just a little pickup basketball right now.
I wouldn't mind doing that at all. You just got really put into play that, you know, we can't do everything that, you know, normal people do outside of what we got going on. Because, you know, if you hit a little ankle sprain or if you do this and do that, you know, something can happen. You just never know if I want to get on a motorcycle or if I want to go, you know, skydiving or get on the jet skis and everything. I have to put into thought that, you know, I have a job coming forth, and I just have to be serious about it. And I just got to think twice about some things. But, you know, basketball is good cardio, good conditioning and so forth. I used to love basketball back in high school, but I remember my coach telling me, saying, you can't play both football and basketball. You got to do one or the other. So me playing center, I couldn't dribble to save my life, but just dunk on everybody. I'm like, yeah, let me put some more of my effort into football, and this is where God has me. So I'm very blessed for this.
No, definitely a blessing. And you kind of talked about basketball being your first love growing up. I'm just curious, like, what's the most the highest amount of points that you scored in a single basketball game?
If I would think about it, I ain't gonna lie or none. I think at least 20, 25 points.
Okay. Somewhere. So you was getting them like diesel in the paint then.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was looking for, to be honest, just backing people down. And just a lot of people were saying, like, man, you got that little football strength you're doing playing basketball. I'm like, man, come on now.
It just made perfect sense. It just made perfect
sense. Right. I think a lot of people want to see Garrett versus you on the basketball court, or just big guys going at it, man. I just think that would be something crazy. Like, do you do any other offseason stuff that maybe the average fan doesn't know? Because a lot of times, you know, I think from a player standpoint, it's not like you want to show, but so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you feel about it, but like, is there something that you ever feel like, man, like I wouldn't mind showing people my strength?
Man, to be honest, I'm very competitive in the weight room. Other than that, you know, the basketball and all that stuff, I just put that to the side and I just really take like ownership in my body and everything, and just had to, well, I was telling Ace, I just had to think twice before I do something and everything. But really this offseason, I really haven't done anything except for just training and rehabilitation stuff like that, and just been, you know, taking it day by day and been feeling stronger, been feeling real better mentally, physically, emotionally, and all that stuff. So we're heading towards the right path.
No, that's fact. So taking it back, you talked about Zach Taylor's draft class. You were part of the first Zach Taylor draft class. Correct. Taking it back to your draft day, what was that experience like for you?
Man, taking it back to the draft day back in 2019, man, it was just a little kid's dream, just waiting for their name to be called, you know, on being broadcast, you know, to thousands of people just watching, you know, the draft and all that stuff. It was a blessing to get drafted, and just that heartfelt moment, my heart was pumping. I was ready. I was excited, and I was telling them, man, fly me out tomorrow. I'm ready to go and everything. But, you know, it was a certain, you know, guideline we had to follow, but it was good. It was great, man. You know, I know everybody that gets drafted is very excited, and to people that don't get drafted, there's still opportunity. There's always an underdog phase that we all had to go through, just by how you obtain it and just pursue through it.
When you got drafted from Arizona State, right, and then you went in the fourth round, what was the buzz like, I guess, around that time? I know you said you were excited, ready to get into it. Do you feel like I can't imagine like the stress or whatever, like just right. You don't know where you're going to get picked. Do you feel like you came off the board like where you thought it was, or was it like a tense moment where you were just like it caught you off surprise?
Man, so the process of, you know, doing that stuff, I had the Reese's Senior Bowl the early of January of 2019, the Reese's Senior Bowl. I had the combine, the pro day, and I had meetings with coaches I had to fly out to. Coaches came to Arizona State to, you know, put me to the test with what they got going on, had to do bag drills and all that stuff. And man, it was just a lot. And I was predicted to go between third and fourth round anyway. But the time when I got drafted, there was a lot of defensive lineman prospects anyway, like Quentin Williams and Christian Wilkins and Nick Bosa. And now, you know, it was a lot of D-linemen that came out. So I was very fortunate that I was, you know, got selected in the fourth round.
Did you know the Bengals had you on the radar, or did that catch you off guard? I know the Senior Bowl probably played a big part in it.
That definitely did catch me off guard. Only interviewed with them once. I was talking to Coach Ethan, the defensive line coach, at the combine. Had a little 5-minute talk, but after that, I never heard from the Bengals after that. Not even a pre-draft process or anything. So definitely was caught by surprise.
Definitely, definitely. So you kind of talked about going through the draft and all of that. Sometimes once players get to the league, they like to get a gift for their mom or their parents for saying thank you for helping you get to that stage. You ended up getting your mom an XT5. Can you just explain what kind of happiness and how that moment was when you were able to do something nice like that for your mom?
Man, it was a great blessing. It's just the fact of, you know, my mom and dad sacrificed a lot for me, you know, growing up and all that. A lot of money has been distinguished between them for me to go to school and go to all these little combines during high school and all that, driving hours to, you know, my AAU, you know, basketball journeys and all that, and just football in general. And at the time, my mom also needed a car, too. So I was like, man, what a great thing to be able to, you know, be financially stable and also take care of your parents, too. And it was good to treat her with the car that she wanted. And man, it's just so much more of a excitement to come, you know, just being able to give back.
I mean, like, all right, then you're talking about your mom, which is so awesome because we on a holiday or whatever. Did you do anything with your family today? Or is it, you know, like, was it just more like a chill day or whatever? For me, yeah. I just finished eating with my fam not too long ago. I know Ace was with his fam earlier today. Like,
no, I called them. I FaceTimed them. I'm actually in Ohio, so
okay.
A nice amount of people from our team traveled back to their families and back to their hometowns and everything. I just stayed up here just to relax and recover and just keeping my head high and staying focused and all that. Just,
well, we want to tell Mama Ren, you know, happy Memorial Day. We want to give a shout out to your fam too for, you know, making sure that you stay humble as you are and being like cool as hell, bro. Like, I really appreciate that.
Nah, facts. And also, we got to congratulate you on your engagement. And I got to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot. Uh-huh. What's harder? Because I'm married, Zim's married. He's about to get married here in October. So he's going through the same thing. What's harder, planning a wedding or tackling Lamar Jackson?
That's a good question.
Playing the wedding.
I'm with you, bro. Yes, sir.
Playing the wedding, man. It's stressful. I'm like, man, we just getting to the names. I'm already ready to give it to my mom and say, hey, mom, just take care of this for me, you know. It's just my phase of just being lackadaisical at times and everything. But, yeah, playing the wedding is a lot. And definitely it's going to be a lot more towards when we come during the season and the wedding player has to ask me and my fiance questions and all that. I'm going to be in practice, tired, coming at the games and all that. I'm like, but, you know, everything's going to work out.
Definitely. It always does, man. Sometimes that invite list can be like those training camp cuts. Some people got to get cut.
That's right. You ain't lying, man.
Right, man. I mean, I'm in the same boat that you're in right now. And it's one of them things where I came into it thinking like, well, I mean, for me, I feel like I can accomplish anything I put my mind to. But it's like, it's a little bit bigger than that when you got a partner tied to you in making decisions and stuff too. So that's the tricky part to me, because I will just be like, yeah, just give me that guy, give me that person, give me that photographer, give me that cake person.
No.
Let's run it. And it don't work like that. So talk to me. Now I didn't know that. So congratulations. Like,
appreciate it.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Does your fiance have any ties to the Lou? Because I know you're from St. Louis, correct?
Right, she's from Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, but in St. Louis, did that have anything to do with your upbringing or how you got to this part right now? Talk to us about St. Louis a little bit. Like, what was that like for you?
Man, St. Louis, been, you know, born and raised from there. It's a few people that came out of St. Louis, you know, basketball and football-wise. You know, Jason Tatum, that plays with Celtics. I used to play on the same AAU team. The St. Louis Eagles back then. I know Ezekiel Elliott. I used to play against him. Two private league schools. I know a few boys that I've been growing up with that plays for the Texans and the Cardinals now and everything. St. Louis is a nice city, man. And just being able to, you know, come out, you know, from just having somewhat things, but still blessed for whatever you have, and just being able to, you know, provide now that you've been able to, you know, you're financially stable and all that. And it's just growing up in a very, you know, warm and household with two parents that are still married. Glory to God for that, man. Just still, you know, getting me on my heads and toes about, you know, what to do and what not to do and everything. So growing up in St. Louis, growing up with a good household, everything's been good. You know, life hits you with challenges all the time. And thank God they were there too. And, you know, man, I can't complain at all.
No, that's fact. So obviously, for me, when I think about St. Louis, and you probably hear this a lot because me being from Ohio, everybody's always like, oh, did y'all listen to Bow Wow? Obviously, Nelly is from there. But like switching gears to music, who are some of the artists that you listen to now or that you get hyped to before a game?
Man, to be honest, shoot, I'm an old school type of guy, man. Old R&B. All my people listen to the, you know, Temptations and all that, you know, right. The Stylistics, Luther Vandross and all that. So it ain't really no pump music to get me going like that, to be honest, which may be weird, you know, according to society now, but I just be more relaxed than anything, man.
Being focused is probably more, you know, like you could spend so much and exert so much energy getting pumped up. You get out there to the field and you might be a little gassed, or you know, that's one less man, push that you probably got trying to get all that energy out that way.
It's not far from the norm because we asked AJ Green, he was like, I don't listen to music before I go out and do my thing. So it's not.
Remember Carl said he listens to like movie excerpts like before he would go out.
Yeah, I remember seeing a couple. I was like, oh man, that's new.
Right.
It's a lot of different things people be doing.
One of my mentors sent me a link one time and it had like a bunch of different like speeches from different movies and stuff like that, or like somewhere just cut down clips into like 10-minute things and stuff. Like I would prepare myself to like start off my work day or whatever. Like, so it's not that far fetched. I do listen to a lot of music that be turned up though. I ain't gonna lie to you. But I switch it up too though. My same playlist that might have a whole bunch of like whatever trap music or whatever on it right now. It also has Michael Jackson and Prince on it too. So, you know, I for sure mix it up. That's very important. I want to go back to St. Louis real quick. You said Tatum, right?
Correct.
So right now, are you watching the playoffs? And if you are you like rooting for the Celtics because of Tatum, or do you have like another dog in the fight?
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Celtics for sure. I'm not really a basketball fan like that no more. I watched the, you know, the playoffs a couple times, but not like through just the little highlights and everything. But when I be scrolling through Twitter, a lot of talk has been talking about Jason Tatum. Definitely excited for him, and God has definitely blessed him in his life and everything. And you know, the best is yet to come for him because you know, ain't no stopping from here.
Right, he's emerging as probably like a top five and maybe top three player in the NBA. Like in. It's funny, like I think we were talking to Fred Johnson, I think last week.
Yeah.
He was saying that he wasn't watching any of the basketball. But I'm gonna tell you, man, like last year was a little boring, I think, maybe because the fans weren't there. But this year,
yeah, it's crazy.
With the exception of the bad fans that are throwing stuff and other random stuff like that, with the exception of that, it has added a little bit of like spice to it that the fans are now back. It's pretty turnt, and you're getting performances like 50-point performances from Tatum, and it's a bunch of crazy stuff.
That's crazy, man.
He's dropping 50. I mean, guys are dropping 44, 50 like every other night. And last year, a lot of people were kind of not healthy. Right now, the majority of the players I feel like are in the league. Like I remember last year, I was watching a lot of games and saying, "Dag, I wish they had such and such, or I wish they had whatever." Exactly. Like a lot of players are out there, so you get to see like the best of the best. So I would encourage everybody, check out the playoffs. It's pretty fun. I want to go into some of the questions. Ace, I know you had some people that had to ask some questions online on Twitter. I don't know if you had those pulled up. I had one, my man Diddy, who is always saying here, shout out to Diddy. If you ever see Diddy on your Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Renil, this is an ultimate Bengal fan. He always supports us. He said, how did you stay in shape while taking the year off?
How I stay in shape while taking a year off, man. Just taking a year off. You just had to have that mindset to just get after it and just, you know, it's been a nice amount of times where I woke up and then just feeling like lazy and everything. But you know, I wouldn't be able to provide for my family, and then being able to, you know, having enough assets and everything to where like I don't have to work for anybody in the long run, everything, to sit back and relax, you know, enjoy my family and everything. But it's really like I ain't have no choice but to, you know, work out and do what I had to do, because, you know, either that or, you know, people be losing jobs and you be out scattered, you know, doing nothing. So, you know, I love the game of football and I love working out and staying in shape. That's my main thing. So I just, it wasn't really that hard for me, but I had a few days where like, oh man, I had to do this again, but I know the best is yet to come for that.
No, that's facts. And I remember when we first picked you, Geno Atkins kind of sought you out and said that you could be very special in this league based on things that you were able to do with your physical abilities. And we have a question here from Matt Snyder on Twitter. He asks, how valuable was it to be able to learn from the pros like Geno Atkins and DJ Reader and adding to your own game?
Exactly. It was a lot of good insights from DJ Reader and Geno. I'm fortunate to still have DJ still with the Bengals, you know, even though he signed like a, I think it's a 4 or 5 year contract, but anything can happen nowadays. But just learned from Geno my past couple years there, you know, he be goofing a lot, but he really be had me on my P's and Q's when we had practice. He's a different breed. Geno's a different breed. I mean, he don't use a lot of finesse moves. He just counter and work back inside, or he uses straight to bull rush and everything. And it's crazy. But I learned a lot from him and DJ Reader. You know, me and him training right now to get back healthy and all that stuff. But everything's been good with him. He's just his craft is good too. You know, just being able to be a big defensive lineman and the movement that we have to do to be versatile and all that stuff. You know, everything's working good with us. So
there's a lot of fans online because Geno is still out there as a free agent, right? Currently, right now, I don't know if you noticed, but you have 15 defensive line on your roster right now, right? Me just talking about the legacy of Geno Atkins, I just couldn't see a scenario where he would probably come back and just play the background role, or, you know, like, I don't feel like he's there at that point in his career. Do you see any scenario without, I guess, getting into the business side of things, whatever, that you could see him possibly coming back?
Man, me and Geno talk here and there. We don't really talk about football. We just be goofing around. But to be honest, for me personally, he could either come back and do what he do and contribute, or he can just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of his life, you know, with his family and all that stuff. But
You think retirement might be a possibility for Geno Atkins?
It could be. It could not. You know, from him, ask how he's doing. Is he healthy and everything? He said everything's been going good. He still feel like he can get off the ball and everything. So everybody's body is different. If it was personally thinking how many more years he would have on this play, I'd say like 2 or 3, personally, from my opinion. But, you know, you just never know. As long as your body, you could be going for days.
I posted a picture of him like 2 weeks ago just eating some ice cream. He looked like a damn Olympian, bro. Like, he's still working out, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, Rennell, is I know last year around this time I was really excited for you because you had a big opportunity. You still had an opportunity now, but I know you were talking about playing the defensive end position in the big package in the 34. Is that still going to be your role going forward, or are there certain roles? I don't know if you're at liberty to say those particular roles, right, but I know you're a versatile player. Is that something that they see you in on this defense? Because – last year they were changing the defense a little bit, tweaking it up from what it was before. Is that going to be something similar to your role now?
Yeah, it was going to be something similar still. You are definitely correct. I want to put too much on the table, but they're putting people in the right position for us to win games. So wherever they put me at, I'm going to get after it, and I'm going to help us win.
And I'm just going to – I'm sorry if I got to cut you off, but I've had this thing that I want to see. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I want to see you and Shelvin next to each other. And I just want to dare anybody to try to run against our defensive line with y'all two big brothers in there.
Man, I'm saying, yeah, I seen him last week. I think he about like 6'2", 350. I'm like, right. Man, if you don't stop this run, dog, then shoot, I don't know what to say. But he's going to be good. He's going to stuff that middle up. We're going to protect the heart of our defense. And man, we should, I can't wait. We're gonna get after it. And you know, it's time flying by. It's about to be June tomorrow already.
Right.
So, dude, we just gotta get after it and just, you know, stay on our P's and Q's.
Right. I don't wanna make this about like other players but so much, but I think by you just saying that you're working out with DJ Reader right now, can you give us like an update on how's he looking? And then secondly or whatever, what does he bring to the team that people probably just did? You know, we got a small sample size of it, and people that go back and watch games, like, we're like, yeah, that's a big difference maker.
Exactly.
Can you speak to some of that, please?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, DJ Reader, he's a good guy. His progression is good. I don't want to speak too much on him personally because I don't know how much I can say out there for everybody watching and seeing, because at the end of the day, it's really not nobody's business but him.
Nice.
But he's still moving good. He's still versatile and everything. And just for him to be weighing like, I think, 330, you know, 325, 330, and just being able to move like that is impressive. He brings a lot to the table, stuff in the run, rushing the passer and everything. He brings a lot. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of excitement coming this upcoming season for him and for everybody.
And my follow-up to that is, what do you bring to the table, and what can people be looking for you to bring to the table this year?
I'm going to bring a lot. First thing first, stopping the run, rushing the passer and everything. And shoot, doing what I can for what the team needs me to do in order to contribute out there. You know, you can't be a one person player out there and just thinking it's just your court. You know, do the little things to make the big things happen. You know, if you take up the double team, you're not upset that you ain't make the play, but somebody else made it because of what you did in order to contribute. So my focus is just doing the little things and just making the big things happen at the end.
Oh, that's facts. That's facts. Well, Renell, we appreciate you being so gracious with your time. Before we get out of here, Zen, was there anything that you wanted to ask him before we get off?
I don't know what your diet is like these days, but I did want to talk to you about Midwest Barbecue. It is a place over here in Loveland, Ohio.
Just looking at that on Instagram, like three or 4 hours ago, I'm like, hold on, man. I'm trying to order some.
Hey, but all right, so now this is the thing. This is why I brought it up. I don't want you to get off schedule. We're going to focus. We're going to Marvin Gaye our music out there. We're going to be super focused. But I'm going to tell you, my boy Tim over there, he will look out for you. He's going to take care of you. You give me the word, contact him. We'll have it right at your front door, or you can pull up, whatever you want to do. And I encourage everybody watching this, check out Midwest Barbecue and Creamery. Man,
and make sure you try the G-Funk Wings, bro. The G-Funk Wings is what I'm hearing are slamming. They also have brisket fries, too.
Brisket fries?
Oh, yes. Like, I feel like we're starting up something where we could have talked 10 minutes about food for real, because I'm really like a big boy at heart for real. But I looked at you, I said, man, he looked like he can go in on some wings or some ribs or something. So when we get to that point, and whatever, you give me the word or whatever, I'm gonna shoot you over the address. And like I said, it's real good people, good family business, and that's the reason I want to mention it to you.
Okay, cool. That sounds good, man.
Definitely. Yes, sir. That's all I had. I really want to thank you for your time today. I know it's a holiday. You're chilling, relaxing.
Yep.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Blessings to you. I love the fact that you were so generous with your time. I appreciate all the fans, even on the holiday, chilling back with your fam, getting a chance to watch us. Orange is the New Black podcast. Ace, talk to the people. What do you want to close out? Do you got anything you want to say?
I just want to thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Be sure to definitely get you some of those G-Funk wings for sure. And of course, we'll end the show with a yes.
Thirsty.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos.